Samuel 17. And you might think that this is a message that would be geared to kids. And, you know, it sort of is. It sort of is. But I'm nothing but an overgrown kid anyway. And I enjoy studying this stuff and preaching it, whether you enjoy hearing it or not. But, you know, it's a blessing to me. And we're going to read a little bit about David and Goliath this morning. And try to take a look at some of the truths connected with David's life as a young man and see how those things helped out with him when he was older. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 28, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down thither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And David said, and Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and for the stories contained in it, for the great truths that are found in these stories. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak this morning, preach these things to these people. And Father, may there be something said that would encourage someone in here today. May there be something said that would cause someone to realize why they're here and to live the life that you have left them here to live. Father, help us to be bold for you. Help us not to be just a simple worldlings that sort of go sludging through this world of sin, not realizing who our Maker is and who our Savior is, and not giving you the honor and glory for our lives. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to lay up treasure in heaven, to get our eyes on eternity and keep them there. Help us to live our days out in light of the fact that someday soon we'll be with you. And Father, when we get there with you, that we'll be with you forever and ever and ever. And Lord, help us to do something for you until that day comes. And Lord, we know that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and it's not going to be far off now. Father, I pray that you would just bless each person that's here today and speak to their heart. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when it comes to these stories in the Old Testament, there are some stories in the Bible that just never get old. I mean, you can tell them over and over and over again, and I love to hear them. I love to read them. I get to reading about David and Goliath, and I get very vivid pictures in my mind as to how it was on that day. Having been over there in that exact spot where they say this all took place, you know, I didn't realize what it looked like until I got over there. And then I remembered the day, it was even on a Sunday, that we were there, and we divided the tour group into two bands. One was the armies of God, and the other was the armies of the Philistines. And I hate to say, but they had me in the army of the Philistines, and I was on Goliath's side, and I was a defeated foe on that day. But, you know, being there and seeing that valley and seeing that area, and then going back and reading the Bible and looking at the truth concerning this man David as a young boy, a youth, this never gets old. You can tell your children these stories over and over and over again. And, you know, isn't it too bad that people have laid the Bible storybook aside and laid the stories of the Word of God aside for Harry Potter and things like that, the wizard and the magic and all the mystical stuff, and they've laid the truth aside and swallowed all this stuff that comes out of Hollywood. And what we need to do is get back to telling our children these old stories that you find in the Old Testament about men like David and men like Goliath and the encounter that they had out there that day. And before David became Israel's great king, he had a great childhood. Before he ever was anointed king of Israel, he had been through a lot of things. As a shepherd boy, he tended his father's sheep. David was a shepherd. When I read the Bible, I find that God calls a lot of men to lead men who were shepherds. I don't know what it is about that, but that's the truth. There's a lot of men in the Bible that are shepherds, and God refers to them. Abel is a man that you read about in Hebrews chapter 11. He's also a man you read about in Genesis chapter 3, and you know, 5. And Abel was a man who was a shepherd, but he had the right heart toward God. Cain was the first murderer, and he had a heart that wasn't right toward God, and he was just a dirt farmer. And not that I'm trying to say anything there about dirt farmers and shepherds. I'm not. But it's something that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes to this earth, he comes to this earth as a shepherd. When you read about shepherds in the Bible, Abraham had great herds. He had great herds. And, you know, I'm sure Abraham was a man who was a shepherd. Jacob was a man who, when they went down to the land of Egypt, he took his sheep with him, and he told Pharaoh, the head, the king of Egypt, that he was a shepherd. Moses was a man that was called by God out in the wilderness, taking care of sheep, And God called Moses to go and lead the nation of Israel out of bondage. David was a shepherd. Before he became a warrior, before he killed Goliath, David was a shepherd tending his father's sheep. But this was training ground. Training ground for him to become a great man. You see, as a shepherd and as a young boy, David learned about God. Out there alone with his father's flock. Even his brother said, are you not out there tending that little batch of sheep? You know, sort of throwing down on him and acting like that's just a little menial job. But David's out there, man, and he's watching those sheep. And he's protecting those sheep. And he's leading those sheep. He's making sure that those sheep have the best to eat that there is available wherever he takes them. That they have a place where they can get water. He's looking for the sheep that's going to stray off so that he can go and bring it back into the fold. He's protecting those sheep and watching for any adversary of the flock that might come along. And the day came, then there was a lion that came and a bear that came. And David goes out, and in the power of God, asking God to give him strength as a child. He didn't go out with a sword. He didn't go out with a gun. He didn't go out with a net. He went out with his bare hands, and he grabbed that lion by the beard, and the Bible said he slew a lion as a child. I don't know about you, but I think I'd have to let that lion have that sheep. But David didn't. Shows you something about David. David had faith in God. David believed in God. David laid on those hillsides at night and looked at the heavens above him and looked at the glory of God revealed in those heavens and in that firmament and knew that there was a God in heaven and a God that had made the earth and a God that had placed him down there on that Judean hillside to take care of those sheep, and his faith was in God and he had purpose of life because he knew God. And when a lion and a bear came up, they weren't going to get that sheep. That was his responsibility. And he went out, and he, with his bare hands and the power of God, he slew the bear and slew the lion. And David, as a shepherd, learned to trust God and became a great man of faith. Not only that, he learned through this that God would protect and deliver him from every situation. As a matter of fact, when he heard Goliath out there that day ripping and roaring and snorting, and you know how the adversary is. The adversary is always bold, and he's always a braggart, and he's always saying, I'm going to take you down. And Goliath is out there defying the armies of Israel, saying, send a man out to fight me. Send a champion of Israel out to fight me. And if he wins, we'll be your servants. If I win, you'll be our servants. And send you out a champion to fight me. And he walked up and down that hillside, and he shook his shield and shook his spear and shook his armor and shook his sword and ran it and raved and had those men cowering in fear. So a man of faith came along, and his deduction was this. If God gave me the power to kill a bear, and God gave me power to kill a lion, God will give me the power and the strength to kill that giant. And he wanted to know why no one was fighting the giant. No, why no one was going out against him. He learned that God would protect him. And in verse chapter 34, it says there, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. And Saul, when he heard that, said, you're the man. Go ahead, if any young man that can go out there and with his bare hands take on a lion and a bear, maybe you have more experience than what we thought. But David was trusting in God. You see, everything about this story of David and Goliath has to do with a man who knew God and learned God and trusted in God and was able to carry that over into his practical everyday living in taking care of sheep and later on in defending the whole nation. He learned about the power of God. Old Saul dressed him up in his armor. Man, he had that coat of mail on. It was honking him down. He had that big old helmet of brass on, and he had a big old sword and a shield, and he put that stuff on. And you know, Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above all the rest of the nation of Israel. So you know, this was big old clumsy armor. And David said, "What in the world am I doing?" He said, "I can't go out in that stuff." He said, "I haven't been in battle in that." He said, "I haven't proved that, but I proved God. I went out against that bear with nothing, and God took care of me. And I went out against that lion with nothing, and God took care of me. And if I could go out against them with nothing, I can go out against this guy with nothing, because he's defying God." And you know something? David learned the power of God. He knew the power of God as a child. Isn't it a shame that our children do not understand many times the power of God? Even when we raise them to know God and to know the Lord, they do not know the power of God. What can we do? How can we demonstrate to our children? How can we teach them that there is a God in heaven that is in charge of everything, His eyes upon them constantly, and He has all power, and they can trust in Him in every situation in life? The only way that we can teach them that is for us to reflect that in our life and show them by trusting in the power of God ourselves. Not only that, David learned about the greatness of God. Not only that God would protect and deliver him, the power of God, but he learned about the greatness of God. And in verse 26 there, it says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He said, "How dare a man come up against the armies of God and say these things and defy the armies of God?" David knew something about the greatness of God. If you have any doubt about that, you just go through the book of Psalms and you start reading the Psalms that David had written and in his life wrote, and you find the greatness of God proclaimed in those Psalms. David, as a young man, learned about the greatness of God. He learned that there is victory in the Lord. Victory in the Lord. Doesn't matter what the situation is, whether it's a bear, whether it's a lion, doesn't matter what the situation is, it can be a giant, doesn't matter, there's victory in the Lord. Do our children understand that? Do they know that there is victory in the Lord? Do you know that this morning, that there is victory in the Lord? We get up, we sing the song, victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus, but when things start going amiss in our lives, can we still stand up and say, "I might be a little bit down right now, I'm getting slammed around with some trials and afflictions of this life, but I know this, there's victory in the Lord"? Or do we just hunker down, limp along, and act like there is no God at all, and oh me, oh my, life is so hard and so meaningless, and I just don't know whether I'm going to be able to get up and face tomorrow? Listen, if there's a God in heaven, and there is, and He's taking care of everything on the face of this earth, and He is, and He understands what's going on in Sinking Spring, in America, in Afghanistan, in Iran, in Israel, and all over the world, if He sees and understands all that, is there not victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God today? There's victory in the Lord. David knew that. Great truth. Now his brother said, "Yeah, you're nothing but a little shepherd boy. Go back, tend the sheep. You just came out here to watch the battle." They didn't know who they were talking to. He learned, David knew God and had spent time with God. You see, all those nights and all those days and all that carefulness and all that watching and all that taking care of those sheep were valuable to David. Those sheep were precious in the eyes of David, and he watched over those sheep, and then he goes out there and sees the armies of the living God cowering down to a man who was a giant. He says, can't understand it, because David knew God. David had an active faith in God. And even though he wasn't in the army that day, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Do you know God? I mean, do you know God? I'm not talking about, do you know God in your head? And I'm not talking about, are you saved? I'm talking about, do you really know God? Do you know whether God has a sense of humor? Do you know whether God hates anything? Do you know what God loves? Do you know what makes God happy and blesses him? Do you know what makes him sad? Do you really know God? Do you know God's watching you? Do you know that the eyes of the Lord go everywhere, beholding both the good and the evil? And that God watches you every single day of your life? And he knows right where you're at. He knew what time you got up this morning. He knew the conversations you've had in the house this morning. He knew what you did on the way to church this morning. And he knows what you're going to do this afternoon. I'm talking about, do you know God? Do you think that you're just some, like an ant down here in a big ant hill, and that God's not really watching over you or caring about you as an individual? Do you think you're just one of many ants in the ant hill? Or do you believe that you're an individual that God made with a plan and a purpose and a design, and he's watching you? You know God. There's difference between knowing God and just knowing about God. And sometimes I think that we need to have the experiences that we have in life so that we'll really know God. I can tell you, the Bible says the Lord promised that he had never leave thee nor forsake thee, but do you know that? Have you been in a situation where you know something, if you were God, you would have forsaken that person if they did what you did? And then God wrapped his arms of love around you and showed you that he was right there, and he loved you just as much in that condition as he did in the best condition you were ever in spiritually. Do you really know God? See, David knew God. He learned about God out there, and he knew God. He talked to God one-on-one, person to person. He knew God. People, not only that, David feared God. David had a fear of the Lord. David did not fear the giant. All the boasting and bragging of the giant didn't scare him one bit. Because he believed God. He knew God. The giant to David was no different than the bear. The giant to David was no different than the lion. David was not afraid of the rantings and ravings of that giant out there on the hillside that day, that all the rest of the armies of Israel, even to the king Saul, afraid to go out and face that giant. David wasn't, because the giant was no different. David feared God. He didn't fear a giant. Listen, people who fear everything that comes along don't fear God. And people that fear God don't fear everything that comes along. Makes sense to me. If a person fears God, they don't fear everything that comes along. If a person fears everything that comes along, it's because he doesn't fear God. And there are people today that are neurotic. I mean, they're just a ball of nerves. They worry about everything. They worry about the war. They worry about the country. They worry about this. They worry about that. And if they don't have anything to worry about themselves, they'll call some other worry ward up and say, give me something to worry about today, because I just ran out of things to worry about. And they fear everything that comes along because they don't fear God. Fear God, you won't have a fear of everything that comes along. One of the greatest things you'll ever do is lose your fear of just stuff that comes along. I've seen people in the work that I do with mental health that are afraid to go outside the door. They're afraid to get in the car and roll down the street. Now, I know that there's a problem there. I know there's a problem there. But I often think to myself, you know, if that person knew God, and knew God would take care of them and love them and protect them and watch over them, and God gives them every breath they breathe and knows every hair that's on their head and watches the sparrow when it falls to the ground, if they had a faith in God instilled in them at a young age, maybe they wouldn't have this fearful condition. When I was a child, if I was afraid of something, I had parents that would explain it to me and say, now there's no reason. The Lord will take care of you. There's no reason to fear that. You know, I have done some real stupid things in my day that I wouldn't do today because I realize now how stupid it was. But there was a time when I was on a shrimp boat, and I was saved. I should have had better sense. But I was on a shrimp boat, and we were in a storm out in the Gulf of Mobile. And the only thing, we couldn't get back into land because the storm came up on us quickly. It was dark. And so we had to ride it out. And that shrimp boat was dipping down, and waves were coming over the front. And I thought, you know what would be fun? It would be fun to go up and sit on the bow of that boat. And there's a big metal cable that runs up to the top mast up there. And I'm going to go out there and sit on the bow of that boat and hold on to that metal cable and let those waves wash over. And I did. And I sat there, you know, and I was young and I was stupid and I was strong and I was hanging onto that cable. And lightning was flashing all around. And I had absolutely no fear. Now, that was stupid. I wouldn't do it now. But you know, there are some people that are afraid to walk out their front door. And I thought, was it because I was taught as a child, if something scares you, then face it and confront it and you won't fear it? I don't know whether you ever read that book, Will, by, who was that politician that got locked up during Watergate? Liddy, yeah. J. Gordon Liddy, he wrote a book called Will. He said when he was a kid, he used to fear rats. And he said, the cat doesn't fear rats. Why doesn't the cat fear rats? Because the cat kills them and eats them. And so he said, you know, if I killed a rat and ate it, I would lose my fear. That's what he did. He killed a rat and ate it to lose his fear. I say this, fear the Lord. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord. David could go out and do what he did because he feared God and he didn't fear the giant. David becomes a giant killer. Now, for you to really appreciate what David did, you have to understand something about giants. Kids, they don't know whether giants are real or giants are not real. But listen, in the Old Testament, giants were real kids. They were real people. They were big. They were giants. You know what I found out about studying giants in the Bible? Giants are always bad. There's no jolly green giants. There's no good giants. All giants in the Bible are bad. All giants in the Bible come against God's people. They try to do harm to God's people. All giants in the Bible if the children of God are God's people, then the children, if the devil has a line, they're going to come through that line of giants. And because they're always against God's people. Not only that, they always show up to hurt God's people when I read about giants. And I read this about giants, that giants are connected with iron and brass. You know what iron and brass are? Iron and brass are the metals that come out of the earth. You know what God's metal is? God said He's going to have streets of gold in heaven. But iron and brass are connected with giants. And great men in the Old Testament were giant killers. Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. In Joshua chapter 13, it says in verse 12, "And the king, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out." You know, Moses is a type of Jesus Christ, and God said He was such a great prophet that He said, "I'm going to raise up another prophet like unto this one right here, like unto Moses." You know what Moses was? He was a giant killer. He killed giants. Take your Bible and look in Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. And in Joshua chapter 11, it says this in verse 21. Joshua 11, verse 21. "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities." You know who the Anakims were? The Anakims were giants. Take your Bible and go back, hold there in Joshua, but go back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, look at the end of the chapter, verse 32, or verse 31. "But the men went up with him and said, 'We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak.'" Those are Anakims. "The sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." You know what the devil did? The devil had a bunch of giants all through that land there. So when the children of Israel came up and sent in spies, they saw those giants, they were scared to death. You know what Joshua did? It says there in Joshua chapter 11 that Joshua killed the remnant. Or it says, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountain, from Hebron." Take your Bible and go to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua and Caleb go into the land. They see those giants. They say, we are well able to overcome them. And they weren't worried about the giants. So when they go into the land, Caleb and Joshua are the only two from the old bunch that go into the land. And they're both giant killers. Caleb's a giant killer. It says in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba," which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest. Here was a man that was 80 years old. He said, "I want that mountain." They said, "Man, the mannequin, you know them big old giants are up in there." Caleb, he said, "Hey, Lord, give me strength. If the Lord's in this thing, if God is in this thing, then you know what? God will give me the strength to go up there and take care of those giants." You know what Caleb was? He was a giant killer. You have Moses, giant killer. Joshua, giant killer. Caleb, giant killer. David, type of Christ, giant killer. Giant killer. You know who killed all the biggest giants? Jesus. Jesus is a giant killer. He defeated the devil at the cross. Giant killer. These men were men of courage. David was a giant killer. David was a man that saw a cause. In verse 29 of chapter 17, he says, "Is there not a cause?" He came up there to deliver some goods to his brother, and when he saw what was going on, he said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David says, "The enemy has the armies of God defeated. They're afraid to move. That's cause enough to go out and face that giant and face that enemy. Because if they didn't get rid of the giant, Israel was going to be servants to the Philistines. There was a cause. You know, there's going to be some giants that you'll have to kill in your life and face in your life. And if you won't face the giants, if you run from the giants, you'll run the rest of your life. And you know what you'll be? You'll be a servant to the Philistines. You'll be a servant to the devil. I mean, the devil will just take you at his will anytime he wants to if you don't face the giant and realize there's a cause. David gave hope to all those that were around him. It says in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David was given hope to everybody. He says, you let me at him, the Lord will give me the power and the strength to overcome him. And he was putting hope in the hearts of these people. He didn't point to himself, but he pointed to the Lord God. And he said, just like God gave me strength over the bear and the lion, God will give me strength over the giant. David was mocked by his enemies. Goliath mocked him. But that didn't matter to him. David boldly denounced Goliath. Look in verse 46. In verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David went out, man. He's gone out. He's got it all laid on the line. He's as bold. He's bold, as bold as Goliath. You know what I like? I like the way David does combat. David was bold in his denunciation, but look in verse 48. It says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Here he is in his shepherd garb with five stones and a sling, and he has a stone in that sling, and he's running toward the giant, and he's whirling that sling. And when he gets close enough, when he gets in range, he's probably praying and say, "God, guide this stone, guide this stone, guide this stone." And boom, he lets that baby go, and that stone hits that giant in the only place that it can really hurt him, right there in the forehead. Because he's covered with mail, he's got a shield, he's got a helmet, and right between the eyes, right there, the stone lodges, knocks that giant down. David goes up there and pulls Goliath's sword out. Now, for a man to be over 9 foot tall, you know, he doesn't have a little machete. A 6 foot man might carry a 3 foot sword. A 9 foot man probably had a 5 or 6 foot sword. And David pulled that thing out and took the sword of Goliath and chopped the head off that giant and picked that head up and came back to Saul. So there he is. God delivered him. And the Bible says there was no sword in David's hand. When that giant fell, God knocked him down. There was no sword in David's hand, so he took the giant sword. You know what that giant sword, forever, that was proclaimed as the sword of David that he took off the giant. Now, isn't it amazing that he had 5 stones? He wasn't worried about missing on the first shot. Goliath had 4 brothers. And David was, he was ready to take on 4 more. And there's going to be giants that come up in your life. And I've gone so long on my introduction that I can't even preach my message this morning. But there's going to be giants that come up in your life. And what you need is you need what David had. The faith, the power, the knowledge, the purpose, the cause, and the ambition to face that giant and slay him. Or you'll be in servitude to the giants all your life. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer.